Hi, Clara listeners. Nairi here. A content warning before the show. This following episode was recorded before a live Twitch audience and subsequently edited. We talked about yokai, as we did in episode 7, and because talking about yokai in depth necessarily means touching on sensitive matters including blood, sex, misogyny, and spiders, this is a content warning about those topics. Please listen with due caution and be safe. And now, on with the show. The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the hosts. We advise you to go out and think for yourself.
Hello and welcome everyone to this bonus episode of Clara, Conversations on Shinto, a podcast where two friends and fellow practitioners of Shinto in the Anglosphere talk about their faith, its cultural, historical, and other contexts, and we try to bring knowledge and community to others. And we're doing it live today, folks.
Oh yes, yes indeed. And I even remembered to plug my headphones in at the last second.
Oh gosh.
Always screaming.
Always. Hey, Vera. Anyway. So, Doc, what is the, why are we doing this bonus stream?
See, now I'm thinking of Alo Alo. You are probably wondering why I have assembled all of you to talk about a live stream. Well, I will tell you. So, we are doing a live stream in conjunction with the June fundraiser, the Queers Fight Transphobia June fundraiser that we did with Goral Stream Team et al. And one of the stretch goals was that Zoe and I would talk about yokai, Pokemon, and Poke Yokai. Mm-hmm. Now, this episode is going to release after episode 7, where we talk about yokai in general. But this is going to be an episode that is going to go a little bit further and talk about yokai-inspired Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. And
so this is also going to tie into an upcoming thing that we're going to do with Verilakeon. We are going to be all playing and streaming Arceus.
Yes, Pokemon Legends of Arceus together. And mm-hmm. We're going to have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
They are probably going to be spicy yep. opinions.
Oh yes. Well, I mean, this is how we do it around here.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, one of the things besides just doing this Legends of Arceus thing is, well, Doc, I grew up in the '90s. How about you?
Yeah. We're about the same age, and we similar age, similar cohort, similar experience.
And honestly, if we were a bit younger, we'd probably be talking about Yo-Kai Watch instead. But we're not.
Mm-hmm. We're not. We're talking about Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. We are the Elder Weebs. Oh, God. And we are talking about Pokemon.
Yep.
Anyway. I love this series. And I love Yo-Kai. They are fun little... fun little cryptid stories, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, between you and I, how many Pokemon do you think there are that are inspired by yokai? You know, is this going to be a short episode? Is this going to be a long episode?
I'm going to guess, given that some of them are just animals, mm-hmm. and some of them are... the latest generation, like, I only actively played, like, 3 generations of Pokemon, and then a little bit of Pokemon Conquest, and it's like, I remember the 151 Pokemon days, right? Like, and now there's, like, 1,000 of them, and, like, where the hell did these come from? I feel very old here. It's like I came from the Tempo era or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
So, I'm gonna guess... that probably there's like a dozen or like a couple dozen at most, you know.
That's just
my guess.
Honestly, if we were to count like Tsukomogami, There are a lot.
Mm.
Because there are... Now there are Pokemon that are literally sentient garbage bags.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes. It's...
Wow.
Some of the ones that I'm talking about there are Trubbish and Garbodor. I don't like either of them.
Garbodor.
Yeah, like garbage odor.
Oh my god.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking them up now, and oh my god.
Yeah.
They literally made garbage bag Pokemon? What?
Yeah. What?
Goodness sakes.
It's interesting, because there are so many ones that just can count as a Tsukumogami dead off the bat because of that.
Yeah, admittedly.
Mm-hmm. And it's just so interesting. And while we're also on, like, the subject of Tsukumogami, what is a Tsukumogami, Doc?
A Tsukumogami is traditionally defined as the spirit of an object that is particularly old. Generally speaking, the age is 99 years and it becomes a Tsukumogami.
Mm-hmm.
So anything really 100 or older. I have, you'll hear this on the main yokai episode, but I have a kimono from the Taisho era that I wear very proudly that is a Tsukumogami, and I try to treat it accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, all things have a spark of what you might call in English kami nature, kaminess. It's just that these particular things that are particularly old are sort of have more of a defined kaminess of their own, and thus they're called Tsukumogami.
And I think that's honestly one of the more interesting things about like Pokemon in general is that it is this, it's a cute little like RPG game, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you gotta catch the Pokemon, you gotta build a team, you gotta go fight the Elite Four and all that jazz. And mm-hmm. punch your rival in the face. You and I both remember the old Red and Blue days, and that guy was a prick.
Oh man, was he ever.
Mm-hmm. But let's just even take a bit of a step away from like the Tsukumogami for just a bit here. Let's talk foxes, because I have a fondness for foxes. If you notice the icon that I'm using today, it is of a fox.
I mean...
Mm-hmm. It is a very spooky-looking fox. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Anyway, but the first ones that come to mind are, again, you and I going back to the old 150. Oh, boy. God, I feel
mm-hmm.
old. We had to talk about Vulpix and Ninetales, and...
Yeah.
Ninetales is straight up a nine-tailed fox, right?
Yep.
And they are... Well, Doc, why don't you give a bit of a heads up on nine-tailed foxes, will ya?
Well, nine-tailed foxes, you know, not all of them work for the Kami Inari-sama, but among the nine-tailed foxes, I'd say a decent number do work for Inari-sama.
Mm-hmm.
They are, I think, my understanding is that they're foxes that are also of a, you know, of a particular age or attainment. You know, that it's not that it's just, like, they've been around, it's kind of like with a Nekomata and the two tails rather than one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, they've been around long enough that it's like, they've got more than just the one tail. They've got multiple tails, in this case, nine tails. Ergo, Kyūbi no Kitsune is the term from folklore. Nine-tailed Kitsune.
Yep.
And so, nine-tailed, nine tails in English.
And it's pretty basic, let's be real here.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, as I'm rapidly trying to pull up some of the Pokedex entries for Ninetales and Vulpix, its pre-evolved form. Because of course I do. Because, you know, let's read into the text, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
So, going for... Let's actually pull up the Legends of Arceus Pokedex entry here for it. In its belly burns a fire, which Vulpix spits out in the form of fireballs. When young, this Pokemon has but one white tail. As the Pokemon matures, the single tail splits into six. And that's Vulpix. Comparatively, mm-hmm. Ninetales, same kind of thing here. Again, Legends of Arceus Pokedex entry reads, "The coat of gleaming golden fur is quite magnificent. This species is said to store sacred power in its 9 long tails and to live for a millennium.
Quite a long time.
Mm-hmm. And for the because I am the local fox expert here, I guess. Don't quote me on that, folks. I just have a special interest in foxes. They're very adorable.
They are.
They will steal your phone, though. So don't leave unattended objects you don't want stolen out near a fox.
Mm-hmm.
But a fox lives about 100 years, it gets a second tail. Lives about another 100 years after that, it gets a third tail. So on and so forth. Until it gets about 8 tails, has to live 200 years because you gotta prove yourself. And then gets its 9 tails. That's one of the tales of how a fox gets multiple tails. And I appreciate this. I love Nine Tails a lot, but they are kind of very, very much, oh, we are the good little foxes. Not all foxes are good, folks. And when you listen to the main episode where we talk about yokai here, you'll find that out.
Oh, yes.
And to contrast the kitsune, the good ones, the zenko, you end up with yako, wicked foxes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love me a good wicked fox.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pull up Zorora here. And I remember showing this to you like minutes before we streamed. And yes. It is just a cute little guy.
Yeah.
That's all they are. They're a cute little guy. There's nothing wrong with them. In fact, if you could pull up pull up one of those pictures on the screen here so we can just show the audience.
The pre-evolution or the post-evolution?
Let's go with the pre-evolution first.
Let me put it in the appropriate folder.
Mm-hmm. And either
fox,
black or white. Either one doesn't work. Either one works. We'll just make sure that I'm matching the right one here.
Okay, so we get the white one.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So, isn't this a cute little fox here? So, this is the one that we are going to be encountering in Legends of Arceus. It's called a Hisuian Zorora.
Mm-hmm.
And its little Pokedex entry is really kind of tragic. But once departed soul returned to life in Hisui, derives power from resentment, which rises as energy atop its head and takes on the forms of foes. In this way, Zorora vents lingering malice. But it just looks like a cute little guy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
This little guy is just very angry and upset about existing.
I mean, mood.
Yeah. But it's a wicked fox. It's a little wicked fox. It's not here to be nice and friendly like the Vulpix is. It's here to lead you off a cliff.
Can I show the evolution?
Oh, yes. We will talk about the big one here. Now, Zorora, interestingly enough, all these Pokemon have interesting etymologies, you know?
There we go.
Also, that hair. I'm sorry, I love
it. Oh, yeah. That. Oh, yeah. There it is.
So, with its disheveled white fur, it looks like the embodiment of death. Heedless of its own safety, Zoroark attacks its nemesis with bitter energy so intense, it lacerates Zoroark's own body. So, comparatively to, say, the Ninetales here, and this is, again, same game, they aren't nice. They are trickstery, and they are malicious. Both the Hisuian Zorora and Zoroark are ghost normal types.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I bring that up is, well, isn't it just one of those interesting tales that a fox hunter would be led over a cliff by Kitsunebi, you know, foxfire?
Yeah.
And that's a pretty common one, you know?
Yeah,
You run across a fox's wedding and suddenly you are cursed to wander your days through the woods, never to return home again, and all that's left is your bones. This is again a wicked fox. And I love me a good wicked fox, as you can tell by the icon.
Yeah.
And again, I'm mostly just bringing this up to contrast the nice light and, oh hey, these foxes are majestic and protective spirits like the Ninetales. And again, just driving home, foxes aren't always good. But I did talk about Tsukumogami. Doc, what happens if a Tsukumogami, what kind of personality would a Tsukumogami have if it was abandoned.
Oh, that's gonna be a recipe for disaster. You're gonna wind up with some very angry things. Mm-hmm. You're gonna wind up with a liability.
Absolutely.
Is what you're going to wind up with. Mm-hmm. You know, there's any number of them, really. And, you know, the yokai that are Tsukumogami derivative, Tsukumogami, like, evolutions, I guess you could say. And as a result, there's quite a few in Pokemon.
Yes. One of my favorites is Bayonet. And...
Let me get that.
Mm-hmm. Again, as we were talking about etymology here. And,
Hey, thank you.
Hello, who is followed?
Got the crash that... Bit rate.
Hell yeah. Who's going. Joined us here?
Thank you for the follow. And I need to rearrange the elements in OBS so that the notice actually is on the top.
Uh-oh.
Oh, Meowdy, hello. Havarius, it was you. Thank you for the follow. I appreciate it very much. Welcome to the stream. Mm-hmm. We are doing a recording of our podcast, Clara Conversations on Shinto, and we're talking about Pokemon. Specifically, the intersection of Pokemon with yokai.
And honestly, I find that Bayonet's etymology that is listed for it is kind of falls flat.
Let's see here.
But it also interestingly goes with the concept of Bane and marionette, as in like malicious marionette. It's an angry puppet, you know?
I see. I think I see why you brought this up.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting.
Like, we're gonna pull...
Yeah, I can kind of see it.
We're gonna pull from Brilliant Diamond here, the most recent Pokedex for it. A doll bore a grudge over being junked, and it became a Pokemon. It seeks the child that disowned it.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
not ominous.
Yes. Delta Games, hi, hello. So this is a recording of our podcast, Clara, Conversations on Shinto, and in conjunction with the Queers Fight Transphobia fundraiser from last month, we're doing a bonus episode talking about the intersections between Pokemon and yokai. And it's interesting, I think, like with things like Bayonet, you know, this is, If I can go off on a little bit of a Confucian tangent here.
Oh, go ahead.
The importance of performing proper rites is a thing that suffuses East Asian, like the East Asian cosmology in general. Zoe, I know that, you know, I'm preaching to the choir here, as it were, preaching to the Gakuden.
Well, the thing is, you're not preaching to me. We are talking to people who are joining in with us.
True. But just, you know, preaching to the Gakuden here, but the underworld, right? The mm-hmm. afterlife is a bureaucracy. You know, when we say hell is a bureaucracy in the West, in East Asia, that's literally the case.
Mm-hmm.
And that extends to basically all of, you know, not just the underworld, but, you know, all aspects of existence.
Yep.
Heaven and yeah. I'm going to be writing about this in an upcoming article I'm doing for Unseen Japan about the bureaucracy of Tien, of quote unquote heaven.
Mm.
Like, try not to think of the Western connotations of that term. Think more of like a celestial bureaucracy, right? So if you perform the proper rites, then the spirits of the ancestors and the spirits of the things are propitiated. And everything and everyone is happy. Everything is in balance. The five. Yeah, this is actually why I have an emote here that is the Seimei Kikyo, the Seimei Bellflower. I have it in Trans Pride colors, but here we go.
Oh, is that what the North Star is?
The North Star in this representation with the five points represents the five elements in balance. All things in balance. All things in harmony.
Right.
Yeah, you know, this is called Seimei Kikyo because of Abe no Seimei, court, Onmyoji court diviner from the Heian era. And his job was advising, his job and his descendants through 1871 was advising the imperial court on policy pertaining to the supernatural, but that extended into things like weather forecasting and astronomy
and
chemistry.
Diet.
And diet. Mm-hmm. Now, that's if you have everything in... Because that's if you have everything in balance. And that's important to the emperor because the emperor is the sovereign. Tenno, the heavenly sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
And if the emperor has everything in balance, then everything by extension benefits. Now, if things are not in balance, if the rites are not performed, the spirits become restless. And we're not just talking about the spirits of the dead. We're talking about... things as even things like Tsukumogami, things like, you know, the spirits of the elements, you know, any number of things. Things will become disordered, you know, and nobody will be happy in any state of existence.
Mm-hmm.
So this is sort of a call that it behooves us to be mindful of doing our best to be sincere and do the things that need doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you leave things undone, and like,
oh, it catches up to you.
It'll catch up to you one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're getting at here with Bennett.
Yep. And this is kind of one of those things, like, you know, be nice to your dolls, be nice to your tools and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly something that I think we can just bring forward with all Tsukumogami, with all the Pokemon that just kind of represent Tsukumogami.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot.
Mm-hmm.
There are sentient gears now. I'm not even joking. You like clockwork gears.
I mean, I remember Magnemite back in the day, so I'm not surprised. Yeah.
You know, they actually gave another evolution to it.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like a giant UFO now.
Oh, nice.
Magnezone.
Hmm.
But we've kind of covered foxes and Tsukumogami, and we've talked about some of one of my favorites of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we jump over to a different yokai to talk about here, Doc? I'll let you pick.
Tell you what, folks will hear this in episode 7, which will go up sooner than this, but why don't we go with the Pokemon that is derived from my favorite category of yokai, and talk about Espeon. Mm-hmm. Now, Espeon is one of the evolutions of Eevee.
Yeah, they're really pretty.
There's a lot of evolutions of Eevee. I remember a few back in the day. There's even more now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I know the joke. You know, Espeon, Jolteon, Vaporeon, Patreon.
By the way, you should probably sign up for Nairi's Patreon. It's really good.
Patreon.com/RiversideWings.
Mm-hmm.
Not only do patrons make this and Friday Night History, my other podcast, possible, they also it's also thanks to patrons that I am in the position to make my second novel. You can see the cover of my first in the corner over there, possible, and the art that's going in it, also independent voice acting things that I've been putting together. Yeah, all manner of stuff. So thank you very much. Link is in the chat. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Espeon. Espeon is unfamiliar to me because, like we said, we're old.
Well, I am very familiar with Espeon. I am very familiar with a lot of these things.
Espeon is... Note the two tails there. Espeon is a derivation of a yokai called a Nekomata.
Mm-hmm.
A Nekomata is a cat. It can often start as just a regular house cat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, over time, I think after a century in some cases, it will grow a second tail and learn how to speak in human language. Now, that may sound familiar to you if you remember Meowth from the Pokemon anime,
mm-hmm.
but Meowth is a different yokai. We can get to that later if we have time, but, like, Espeon is just Eevee that became a Nekomata. Oh, yay! Her Living Weapon, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the sub. Thank you. 4 months.
Oh, heck.
Thank you so much.
Hello there, Living Weapon. It is nice to see you. Oh, God, that bet rate. Also,
oh man,
if we are talking about Meowth, I suppose we should honestly talk about what kind of... I like talking about Meowth. They are a fun little cat. I'm also sending you an image of a Meowth that I am fairly certain you've never seen.
I have never seen this. Where is this from?
It's from Sword and Shield.
Holy shit, that's such a fluffy Meowth.
Yeah, it's... Meowth in the Galar region takes after more, like, Norwegian forest cats kind of thing.
No.
In reference to England being ravaged by the Vikings. So... A Galarian Meowth will evolve into something called Berserker.
Oh my god.
Right?
Oh my god. Berserker?
Yes. But with Meowth, the most signature move for a Meowth is Payday. And the reason why I bring that up is because they're Maneki Nickel.
Mm-hmm. Give me a sec, let me get it up.
Mm-hmm.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the Meowth that you might remember from the anime. Shout out to the late lamented Maddie Blaustein.
Hats off to you, sister.
A pioneering trans woman in the late 20th, early 21st century voice acting scene, mm-hmm. who was the voice of Meowth for many years.
As well as Lieutenant Surge, of all people, too.
No shit! Oh my god!
Like, last time I checked, someone call me out if I'm wrong on that. Again, that's at Clara Podcast on Twitter, but yes.
Yes.
But Meowth is a Maneki Nickel.
Yeah. Note the coin.
Mm-hmm. And I love that, like, in the anime, Meowth is down on its luck when a Maneki Nickel is literally the lucky cat.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just kind of hilarious, personally.
It's a fitting irony, really.
Mm-hmm. Some of the best jokes in life are fitting ironies.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. But again, this and Espeon can be lumped together as cat yokai, which...
Fluffy Meowth over here.
Oh yeah, I love Galarian Meowth there. They look so upset and ready to fight the world. And we don't talk about a Alolan Meowth, mostly because of just how it evolves and it Mm-mm. We'll talk about that one off stream. I have opinions.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, but Espeon, this is new to me, but it's I like it. It's got the two tails and sort of the glowing eyes I like.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of the cat that's been caught in a flash, like a camera flash.
Oh yeah, and it's a psychic type, which I would generally associate with, like, the supernatural and everything here, like, because it's generally either psychic or ghost typing that reads the most as yokai until we start getting into the fairy type, and then that's a different story altogether.
So we've got this one that you sent me
mm-hmm.
off camera.
You're out
of have never seen this before. What is this?
Oh, this is called a Frostlass.
Oh, a Yukiona!
Yeah, like... Again, some of them are just straightforward with their naming convention and everything.
Okay.
Would you like to guess the Pokemon type here?
Gonna say ice.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe another type that I'm not sure what it would be.
Ice Ghost.
Ice Ghost. Okay.
It's rather fitting, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in episode 7 you'll hear us talk about Yukiona.
They are yokai I appreciate. I used to live in Utah. I used to live in one of the towns that's built right into one of the mountains. So you don't get this nice little pleasant polite snow that you get like when you were out in the valleys in Utah or when I'm over here in the Pacific Northwest. Though most people will say the snow in the Pacific Northwest isn't nice or polite. You get a full-on snowstorm. A full-on blizzard kind of thing. I have seen whiteout conditions before, kind of blizzard.
Mm.
And I'm going to read the Legends of Arceus Pokedex here. A Pokemon inhabited by the soul of a woman who died bearing a grudge in the snowy mountains. Legends of Frostlass place deathly curses on misbehaving men to send shivers down my spine.
Mm.
And I think that's a very kid-friendly way of saying... Yo, this gal seduces men and murders them by freezing them to death. It's very polite.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing about yokai that I think, you know, we in the Anglosphere especially, right? We have these very reified, these very like cut and dry definitions of good and bad, right? Mm. Good and evil, right? Yeah, it's either you're a good spirit or you're a bad spirit. But the thing with yokai, and again, you know, when episode 7 comes out, you'll hear us talk about this. The thing about yokai is that even the ones that kill, And there's quite a few of them that do. It's not as simple as this being kills, therefore it is bad. You know, a human peed on its house. Mm-hmm. And therefore this being took appropriate action in kind. The human did not learn their lesson, and so this being ended the human.
And,
you know, it, can you really, like, you know, it's not as simple as, oh, they're bad, they killed a person, but, like, you know, it's like, think about it from the being's point of view.
It's like, I want to see a story about the Yuki-onna where it is talking about her as a spirit of vengeance who died in the mountains.
Yeah.
From abuse, because, hey, I hang out in some of the same spheres you do there, and as well as you do, her living weapon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, maybe the monster had a point.
Right. Right.
And I honestly rate the Yuki-onna, though, under this context, not even talking about, like, how I would like to see a story about one play out, but a reminder of the wildness of nature, especially yeah. snowy nature.
Yeah, and for us, the need for us to show due caution and reverence to that.
Mm-hmm. Remember, folks, one of the big kind of core tenets of Shinto is still harmony with nature.
Mm-hmm.
If you do not live in harmony with nature, you will suffer.
Yeah.
As shown here, as we are in the middle of a heat wave in the PNW.
Mm. Listen, you know, I can give a very practical example from here in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, as many of you may know, is famous as a steel town and a coal town. There are lots and lots and lots of abandoned coal mines around here. For, I think, about a century, right, or at least the better part of a century, people dug under the ground everywhere. And then ran out of stuff to bring out of the ground,
mm-hmm.
and the industry died. Or it's nearly dead anyway. And then, wouldn't you know it, there got to be a problem around here with sinkholes.
Oh, right, yeah, the pothole images I keep on seeing from Pittsburgh.
The term is subsidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just coal mining, it's just in general, like, coal mining and, like, other things that just, you know, digging underground without
proper care.
Without proper care. Digging underground without proper care, it may not have a result immediately, but it will probably have a result eventually. Some of you may recall an image of a bus that had fallen into a hole in a street. That was in Pittsburgh. I've actually been on that street. That's right outside where Anthrocon happens. Like, that street. So, I say all of that as sort of a way of, like, a really practical, like, real-world, here-and-now example of what we mean when we say showing reverence, like, being in awe and showing reverence to nature.
Mm-hmm.
Being in harmony with nature. Because if you don't be in harmony with nature, the hill is going to tear your house down.
Yep, yep. Also, a natural 20, yes, Lagandross would be great names for henchmen.
Or Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of that, let's move to a different type of yokai here, shall we?
Yep. Give me a sec.
Because I sent you these ones because this was in the original 151.
I remember them well.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to introduce you to Hypno and Drowsy. Now, aside from the obvious jokes that we could make, all people in chat considered.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good night, Squeak. Always
good night, Squeak.
It's always good to hear from you. They are a weird looking thing. They look like a tapir.
Yes.
And the interesting thing is, Drowsy and Hypno are based around a yokai.
Yep.
And that yokai is a baku.
Yep.
Now you may well
elephant looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a with this the long snout, but also. The jaws.
Yeah. And these are called Dream Eater Pokemon.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, Doc?
Well, the reason is that Baku, creature that they're based on, eats dreams.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you who are longtime watchers may recall like one of my very first streams where I streamed Tales of the Black Forest, and Baku was a character there. So, same idea. This is a Pokemon derivation of Baku. And I think Baku is from, is part of the sort of the corpus of things that come from India, like in terms of Japanese spirituality and folklore. I'm not sure though. I think it's something that came with Buddhism.
Maybe, I don't quite know. That's something that we'll need to like clarify on our side and then get back to all y'all.
Yeah.
But given the sake of like this being one of the older Pokemon here, we're gonna actually read off the red and blue Pokedex entry for Drowsy, and then jump over to Hypno. Puts enemies to sleep, then eats their dreams. Occasionally gets sick from eating bad dreams. When comparison with Hypno, when it locks eyes with an enemy, it will use a mix of psi moves such as hypnosis and confusion. And again, we're noticing that pattern here of the spookier types being associated with yokai. Hypnosis, confusion, and even things like the Zorora and Zoroark are ghost Pokemon in Hisui?
Mm-hmm. Hisui.
But when they are in their normal forms, those are dark Pokemon, which I think is fitting for a dark fox, don't you?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that works.
Oh, heavens and heavens. So, do we want to talk about weasels, or do we want to talk about more spooky ladies?
I mean, denizens of the chat know that my nesting partner is Grace the Skunk. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in honor of our musteloid friends, let's do a weasel.
Yeah, let's do a weasel.
Which one are we looking at? Kamaitachi?
Yeah, Kamaitachi.
Okay, Sneasel.
Mm-hmm. I have its evolved form over here. So let me see about trying to find its previous form here, Sneasel.
I've got it. Give me a sec. Mm-hmm.
So while you're pulling that up here, Kamaitachi are fast. They are.
Well, I mean, musteloids tend to be.
Mm-hmm. They're literally just little weasels on bladed paws. And again, for those of you who are wondering about that, that's exactly what a Sneasel is. It is a little weasel with bladed paws, and it looks adorable. Look at that thing. Don't you trust it?
I don't.
And again, this was, I think, introduced in Gold and Silver? You know, the second generation and everything. So it's an older Pokemon. It's a ice dark type.
That makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense. I mean, sort of fits with the musteloid method there.
They are what they are, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And again, given that they are one of the older ones here for this one, if I can just find the Pokedex entries, let's actually just do this here. All right, let's go with a Sword and Shield one here. Its paws conceal sharp claws. If attacked, it suddenly extends the claws and startles its enemy. And that just sounds like a very basic animalistic thing to do. So, Doc, I said that the Kamaitachi are fast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, borrowing from Okami, the video game, it was said that these things can cut you and then heal the place where they cut you without you ever noticing.
I mean, anybody who's been around a ferret or a weasel, I think we'll know what they're getting at there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, goodness sakes! Like, I have only been around ferrets one time, and the cage was opened, and I reached in for the ferret, and by the time my brain registered what was going on, the ferret was on my back.
Yep.
They're fast.
They are. And for a brief moment, Doc, I'm going to step away to use the restroom because, oh god, bodies are bad.
Sure. Yeah, so while Zoe is stepping away, this is, of course, not the only musteloid yokai, the Pokemon aside for a moment. Kamaitachi are not the only musteloid yokai. There are many different musteloid yokai, as a matter of fact. I'm thinking of, like, the 10 the weasels, broadly stated. In Japanese, actually, the term for otter, like there, I don't know if there had been otters on Honshu and points south prior to the Meiji era, but the term for otter entered Japanese from Ainu. And that's actually relevant to what we're going to be doing in streaming Arceus together, because Arceus is set in a Pokemon version of Ainu Mushir, Hokkaido and Sakhalin and the Kurils. And yeah, we're going to be talking about the colonialism and so on that's sort of baked into the setting there. But yeah, when it comes to mustelids, generally speaking, you know, in terms of yokai, there are a few kinds, but it's more like the weasel marten sort, rather than, say, otters or wolverines. There are wolverines near Japan, and during the Meiji into Showa era, when there was settlement in Sakhalin, Japanese people were regularly around wolverines, but it didn't enter the lexicon of the folklore in quite the same way.
Oh god, Doug. I have to share with you another image then.
Mm.
Because
it's interesting to me that there's a Japanese word for wolverine, but that they were never sort of in the corpus of yokai.
So I think that's an interesting point that you bring up here, because I find it interesting. And the reason why I find this interesting is because, again, you and I are talking about, we're also doing this episode because we want to, like, drum up some hype for us doing Legends of Arceus with Vera, who is our foremost expert on WoWs.
Yes.
But may I introduce you to the Hisuian Sneasel.
Hisuian Sneasel.
Mm-hmm. Because, again, we're talking about Pokemon Hokkaido here, right?
Yep.
And there are, as you have said before, there are wolverines out in the more northern parts of it and everything.
Yep.
Because of this here in Legends of Arceus, there is a evolved form of the Hisuian Sneasel.
I think I see what you mean here.
Mm-hmm. And I can only just imagine that this is going to be one of those call references here of, yeah, hey, we recognize that there were wolverines in this area of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough.
Those of you who have seen Golden Kamuy may recall the bits with the wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Interesting enough, because as I'm looking over the typing here, the Sneasel is dark ice. The Hisuian one is fighting poison.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Same with the Sneasler, the evolved form.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there is anything less quintessentially Wolverine than a big, angry weasel who will fight you.
I mean, there's a PBS documentary that my partner and I watch from time to time about Wolverines, and there's a Wolverine expert that they interview in the beginning, and he says, a wolverine, you have to understand, a wolverine will look at a grizzly bear, and which is several times its size and weight, and say, I can take you, you look like a wuss.
And they'll win.
And a wolverine will also go straight up and straight down a mountain. It won't go around, it won't zigzag, it'll go straight up and straight down.
Yeah, like, oh, I love wolverines. They're just angry. I can relate.
Yeah, I mean, same. One moment. I think it is now my turn, because bodies are bad.
Oh, yeah.
I will be right back.
So, you are now left with me, chat. Oh, dear. I hope you're all doing well. Do you actually have any favorite Pokemon that you know are based on yokai? Like, please just drop them in the chat. We're here to talk about this, folks. Like, I never thought that Lotad and Ludicolo could be considered Kappa. But now that I look at them, I'm like, you know, I can see it. And just, I appreciate that we end up with these folklore, these folk stories influencing things like video games we play. that we end up with this interesting cross-pollination where our first exposure is through what could be considered a child's game, and is rightfully so a child's game, though I've grown up with it, and boy, I have opinions on Oras, which was very much a love letter to the older fans saying, hey, we still see you, you guys are awesome. And on one end, it was very schmaltzy. On the other end, you know, schmaltzy isn't bad. It's nice just to have those moments where you can just say, hey, we see you, we care for you, we appreciate you, especially for, good heavens, a game that is about as old as I am. A game series that's about as old as I am. And I've had some love-hate relationships with this series, but I still love it, I still keep up, and yeah, I have Sword and I have Pokemon Sword because I am a sword lesbian. Let's be real.
Mm-hmm. I mean, same. Mm-hmm.
So let's just... I want to appreciate the fact that they... That Sneasel, a Pokemon that is literally Kami Itachi, the little fucking razor weasel, you know? And that the Hisuian form is not dark ice, but angry fight. Fighting poison. And it evolves into an even bigger angry fighty poison type.
Yeah. Just there's a joke that I've heard of, like, you know, Wolverine is a bear on weasel hardware.
Oh, that is so fitting.
I mean, you know, yep. Mm-hmm. All right, so you've sent me this next one. Mm-hmm. We're getting sort of into the category of spooky ladies.
Yep, and this one is called Mawile. And yep. I like this design because it does look like it's wearing Hakama, doesn't it? Oh, bugger.
I think I lost you. Yeah, folks, I appear to have lost Zoe. I am going to vamp for the moment. Aha! I think we're back?
Oh, we are back here. Yeah. Sorry about that. It didn't shut down the computer. It just took out the router.
I was gonna say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, reminder, of course, also that an exclamation point quote will display a funny quote from past streams.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I've been vamping over here, and this Pokemon here is one of the ones with which I am unfamiliar, but I know instantly which yokai it is evoking.
Mm-hmm. And what yokai is that?
That is Futakuchi Onna, the two-mouthed woman.
And Doc, how does that yokai manifest, besides the obvious two-mouthed woman?
Actually, you know what? I can't remember. Because, you know, this is one of the ones that I'm looking it up right now. Okay, it looks like what I'm remembering was right. I was remembering that this is one of the ones where the yokai has misogyny sort of baked into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, oh, you know, Mrs. So-and-so, doesn't know her limits in her appetite. Ooh, she must be a yokai. She must have a secret second mouth on the back of her head. So that's where that yokai comes from.
And the Pokemon is named Mawile. And this is an interesting one here because it is a fairy steel type within the most recent generation. Wasn't always that way. But I kind of just appreciate its little design here, because it looks like it's wearing Hakama and everything. And despite, yes, having the misogyny baked into it, which... gross. Let's be real.
Yeah.
That's gross.
Yeah.
It's still an interesting little story, wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Yeah. It's... You know, This is one of those things that, you know, it's interesting to consider, you know, what... Given that you know, particularly in the Confucian system, you know, men are privileged over women. How like this is a way that people in a fanciful sense, thought to explain, you know, so and so is eating a lot. Oh, there must secretly be a yokai, rather than, oh, maybe she's just got a healthy appetite. Leave her alone.
Yep, and it's. I like the Pokemon. I dislike the story.
Yeah. I mean, like, really, this isn't the only, like, and this gets into fat phobia, too.
Mm.
Which is interesting because there is a thing that's not a yokai, but more a phenomenon.
A phenomenemon.
A phenomenemon, if you will. From the Tohoku region that's called Nebutori, which is this phenomenon of, I forget exactly what causes it, but basically, but I've seen woodblock prints of it, and it's, TLDR, it's women randomly getting fat overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of nowhere. But this appears in some woodblock print series of yokai. So it's sort of, I guess, treated by some as basically being a yokai or like a yokai-like thing. But yeah, we got the two-mouthed woman there.
Yeah. So I'm honestly going to ask that we avoid Jinx, mostly because the design still kind of creeps me out, and
let's you can look it up, y'all can look it up if you want, but we're not going to get into it.
Mm-hmm. We remember the 90s, we remember the terrible there were mistakes, and we're just going to carry the heck along on this whole thing here, because let's even just talk here, like, let's talk about some more of the more legendary Pokemon here. You know, every region has legendaries and everything here. And Suicune.
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty. That Pokemon is pretty. I can't say it anything else other than it is pretty. And I didn't know this one until I actually looked this one up here.
This is one of the ones that's old enough that my brother was playing the game, but I was no longer playing the game, so it's a name I remember. But I did not, this is not a Pokemon that I myself caught.
Mm-hmm. I already got the image in the chat.
There was a set of them, I think there were three of them. Entei, Raikou, and Suicune.
Mm-hmm.
But that's Suicune right there.
Yeah. And again, pretty.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, there is an argument that says that this is representative of a Kyurem. Now, Kyurem are, like, a heavenly thing.
Yes.
And God.
I should add, interestingly, Kyurem is also the word that was applied to the giraffe.
Mmm. Did not know that, actually.
Yeah, giraffe is a Kyurem. Spelled with exactly the same kanji. Go figure.
Huh. But Kyurem are originally Chinese. I don't know how to pronounce this word, Doc. I don't speak Chinese.
Oh, Qilin?
Yeah, Qilin. Yes. Oh, hey there, Deep Sea. It's nice to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
Mm-hmm. I am, of course, Zoe, the intrepid co-host with the ever magnanimous and amazing Dr. Nairie Bacallion.
Thank you.
And again, we are talking about Pokemon and Yokai here. As a bonus episode of Clara, because we wanted to do this, but we also wanted to set this as a fundraising goal for Queers versus Transphobia.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you just want to do a little bit of a fluff piece about, like, pop culture and how it takes notes from your belief and things that kind of are tangential to it, because yokai aren't strictly Shinto. But they aren't not.
Yeah, they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
We can put it that way.
Much like how fairies would probably overlap with, like, Western paganism. You know, forest spirits and whatnot.
Yep.
This is why we have conversations about things like this. Because, first off, it's fun. Second off, it is still relatable. This is sometimes the stuff that gets people in the door into things like Shinto and so forth. Because, hey, I'm one of the older weebs.
Same.
Screaming.
Always screaming.
Yep, but I like Suicune. It's honestly one of my favorite of the three legendary dogs. I think that's what the cycle was called.
Yeah, Entei, Raikou, and Suicune.
Mm-hmm. And Hand to Heaven, I don't know if those three also have the same vibe as Suicune is, like...
Kind of. I mean, there's sort of the like with the wispy bits trailing along, and but like Entei, I think was fire, and Raikou was electric or something like that.
Much like the much like Articuno, Zapdos, and Moltres, and funny little bit of like and a funny bit of pun for that one here, Articuno. 1.
Mm.
Zapdos. 2.
2.
Moltres. 3.
3.
1, 2, 3.
I can't hear Articuno and not think of the Pokemon rap from the anime.
Oh, my heavens. Yeah. Bruh. Oh, gosh. But, like, I mean, if you want to, like, hear my controversial opinion, I guess controversial Poke opinion here. One of my controversial Poke opinions. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure that out when we get there, folks. Entei looks like one of the guardian lions, like you'd see, you know, like a foo dog kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
And I, this is just mass wild guessing on that end, folks. Don't quote me on this, please. Or do quote me, but also please correct me if I'm wrong. But again, we're gonna just stick with Generation 2 here for a bit, because... Well, Doc, what do you know about the Ho-Oh?
Ah, that's the phoenix, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And
also, that's the term for an emperor who takes the tonsure.
Oh, becomes a monk.
Yeah.
Huh.
Whole Dharma Ole King.
I can see that.
Something Dokyo Disturbance, but we won't get into that today.
that is some historical context there that is well worth learning. But also very much a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. Anyway, so, Mella, hello.
Hi, Mella.
How nice to see you.
Oh, my
God. Is that a Digimon?
There is probably a lot of yokai influence in Digimon as well. I just don't know Digimon that well.
Yeah, same. Same.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here we go with Ho-Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the term for phoenix, or the East Asian equivalent of a phoenix.
And I love just how simple they made this gag, you know? Because in the chat there, Ho-Oh, the Pokemon, is spelled H-O-O-H, whereas the spelling of the actual yokai itself is just Ho-Oh, without the H.
With a long O.
Mm-hmm. And you know what, Deepsea? That is perfectly fine, yeah. Like, Pokemon is one of my special interests, and where it overlaps with yokai is where I get really fun.
The whole of Ho-Oh is the whole of Zuihoden. And I bring that up because it wouldn't be a me stream without mentioning House Date of Sendai.
Yep. There it is, folks.
Zuihoden is the mausoleum of Date Masamune, founder of Sendai.
Mm.
So I'm going to put the kanji in the chat. The whole, so the same bird... Zi is like auspicious, so the Hall of the Auspicious Phoenix.
Yeah, that sounds flashy enough for him.
But
so the whole, as it is a phoenix with five colored feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Each one representing one of the five elements of, like, classical Chinese Taoism mysticism.
Yep. And the things that are in balance, as represented by the emotes that are currently on the screen.
Yep, the North Star and everything. And the reason why we say the North Star here on our side is because, well, Doc has a doctorate in military history of Tohoku region during the Boshin War.
Yep.
You should hear her talk about it. Check out Friday Night History. But that's neither here nor there at the moment. The five colored feathers are white, black, red, yellow, and blue. Black for water, red for fire, yellow for earth, blue for steel, and I think white for wood.
Sounds right.
It's been a while, folks. It's been a while since I've actually taken a look at the old Taoist elements and everything. And why are we talking about Taoist elements when this is a podcast about Shinto and in this case, yokai within Pokemon and pop culture stuff.
There is you may well ask as well you may.
Mm-hmm. One of the more interesting okami... So, Abe no Sime was a omyoji, a court diviner, okay? And he became deified after his death. Now, the magic that he practiced was called omyodo, and this is, again, the way of black and white, or in more of a fanciful way, the way of yin and yang. Abe no Sime was a... It could be argued that his magic and his divination techniques were based around Taoism.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of cross-cultural pollination between Taoism, Buddhism, and Shinto, if you know where to look.
Yeah.
But the whole is a very interestingly kind of... As you bring this up here with the pun of it being an emperor who takes... who abdicates and becomes a Buddhist monk.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's such an interesting thing that the Pokemon Ho-Oh hits all those things.
Yeah.
Taoism, Buddhism, and Shinto.
Well, and it's a five-colored bird, right?
Yeah.
Five-colored cloud.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With or without the motorcycle sounds, I guess.
Hey. And
hey!
If you're wondering about that one, don't worry, episode 7 is coming. There's a joke about that.
Yes.
Because I know for a fact here we are running quite a bit long for all things considered, but we are still talking about like some of the legendary ones because I want to talk about them. I want to get the big ones out of the way here because it's Pokemon. When you're a kid, you always are interested in the legendary Pokemon besides Charizard because Charizard's not legendary, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
Apart from when it is up against a rock, apart from when it's up against a rock type, because it is flying fire, not dragon. How does that work? Anyway, I have sent you the image for this one, Doc. It is a dragon, and this dragon is a rather friendly fellow. He's rather shaped. It is a this fellow is called Rayquaza. Now the yokai that it's built around is just literally East Asian dragons.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, Gyarados also fills that same niche and everything here, if you ask me honestly. But that's also built around the context of a specific story. If a koi were to swim up a mountain and through a gate, it will become a dragon.
Yeah, there's a waterfall on the Yellow River, I think,
mm-hmm.
Called the Dragon Gate. And if the koi goes up the waterfall, it will become a dragon.
And that's why Magikarp evolves into Gyarados.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. But that's neither here nor there, because I think that's Chinese. Is that Chinese?
It's both, but it's originally from China, yes.
Yeah. So, and again, this is where it gets blurry, folks. Cross-pollination.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations between neighbors. That sort of thing.
Right.
But
right.
Rayquaza is built around the context of the Ryu, or the Tatsu, or the Wani, the Ryo. All these names apply to it. And like dragons and all other sorts of myths, they can generally eat whatever they want. But when it comes down to like a lot of East Asian myth here, dragons are gentle-ish. Well, are gentle. Are very capable and very wanting to be gentle. Maybe not as gentle as the Kirin. But they aren't, rar, 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 I'm going to burninate the countryside and all the peasants.
No, that's a callback.
Doc, we're in our 30s.
I mean, well, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
It's topical for us, but we're kind of dating ourselves here.
Oh, God! Who replaced my bones with celery? Yeah, not St. Peter's dragon, yes. Or, well, actually, Doc, you've told me about dragon slayers in your heritage.
Oh, man. Are we talking about dragon? You know what? It's actually interesting that you say that, because the story involving the dragon that you're probably thinking of is St. George.
Right.
And that actually happened just up the coast from where I grew up.
So the story goes.
So the story goes that St. George was a Roman soldier and that he fought a dragon roughly north of Beirut a little bit, which was a Roman retirement colony at the time. But yeah, dragons from Armenian folklore. There's a figure, one of the Armenian pagan gods, Vahakan. Vahakan was the is known by the epithet Vishabakar, dragon slayer, dragon reaper. And you know, he stole grain and carried it across the heavens, but some of it spilled, and that became the Milky Way. In Milky Way, we call the Milky Way in English because it comes from the Greek. But the Greeks are our weird, oily neighbors. My people are Armenian, but also Assyrian and Kurdish, but we won't get into that.
It's complicated.
It's complicated. Screaming.
Always screaming.
So in Armenian, we call what is otherwise known in English as the Milky Way, we call Hartakori Janabara, the path of the straw thief. Is that why the bosses in Genshin are called Vishab? Yes, because Vishab is both the Persian and Armenian word for dragon.
Yep. But
it is I think the term is Indo-Aryan for that broad family of folklore. You know, basically anything from us all the way out to, you know, northern India. So yeah, dragons.
But in the case of like East Asian dragons, and we're not getting into Yamato no Orochi here. Completely different story here, and completely different eight-headed snake. Dragons in East Asian mythology are capable and end up accumulating a lot of wealth. They aren't generally malicious or out there causing chaos and havoc, for the most part. There are notable exceptions. There are some times when a dragon is angry, will cause rough seas, major storms, and sometimes it will actually go out of its way to wreak some punishment upon someone who has wronged it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's not that much to say about dragons being evil. They just
Yeah,
are.
Not particularly.
Mm-hmm.
They're beings that command awe, and they are, you know, when you get into Buddhism, some of them are protectors of the Dharma. The Beto temple of the famous Osaki Hachiman shrine in Sendai, where I had my moment 17 years ago, is called Ryuhoji, the temple of the dragon jewel.
Yep.
So like the jewel of the Dharma, but it's a jewel of a dragon.
And this is like interesting things that we talk about when we talk about pop culture and how Shinto influences it, because these things, these monsters, these neighbors in their own way are still around us to this day, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And again, when I talked about the Yukiona and Frostlass earlier, I appreciate those stories because I grew up in mountains. I remember whiteout blizzards. I remember the absolute powerlessness you feel at the hand of nature showing its power to you.
Yeah. And bear in mind, folks, when we talk about yokai, the other term for yokai is a bakemono, a literally changing thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that they're from this long ago fairy tale time. They are still here now, and they have changed with the times just as we humans have changed.
Mm-hmm. Like, one of the more interesting pieces of art that you ended up telling me about was someone translating the discarded face masks that we have all been wearing throughout the whole Pandini, which is still going on, folks. As yokai. As Tsukomogami.
Yeah, I've seen art of discarded face masks as angry Tsukumogami. Like, when I say discarded face masks, I'm talking face masks that are, like, dropped on the street rather than properly disposed.
Mm-hmm. Which, again, goes back to Bannett.
Mm-hmm.
A evil marionette who holds a grudge because the child abandoned it.
Yep.
And this is why we talk about these things. These can be viewed as lessons on how to care for not only our things, but the world around us. And as we're just bringing this all into a close here, Doc, what is a yokai that you would like to see as a Pokemon?
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. You know, there's this hyper-local yokai in Sendai that I would love to see a Pokemon take on. So this folklorist named Mihara Ryokichi, who is very influential to my work, collected a lot of the folktales that appear in the 1970s era version of the Miyagi Kenshi, the Miyagi Prefectural History. And so there's this one story called Bofurita, which is about it's been a while since I read this, but it's basically the ghost of this woman who was killed when the Date clan was consolidating its holdings in the area from the Kasai and Osaki.
Mm.
And so the ghost of this woman has become a yokai of sorts, and Bofuri, stick swinging field. And so there's this one field in basically the area I used to live in on the north side of town, where nobody can plant because the ghost of this woman is swinging a stick and driving people away. You know, the hype, like a hyper local, yes, like that's a little bit more Yurei, but like it's sort of like the ghost of the old woman and the stick together.
Yeah.
I can see that as a Pokemon, right? I can also imagine, it's on the tip of my tongue, it's been a while. There's a bunch of individual kitsune in Miyagi that have various stories attached to them. But there's one in particular who was involved in both driving off a notorious fox hunter, but also restoring a disgraced gnoll flautist back into the services of the Date clan. And this was apparently a particularly old, particularly wise kitsune. So, like, I can imagine, right, a kitsune and a flute, like, with a flute, like an ocarina, maybe. You know? I can also see the oni from the tale of the Rashomon. There was a flute that the Heian-era flautist Minamoto no Hiromasa acquired, and the story goes he got it from an oni who he played a duet with for, like, a month every night at the Rashomon Gate in Kyoto. So the flute was called Oni Ichimonji. So, like, the oni with the flute.
Mm.
I can see that as a Pokemon.
Also, yeah, Deep Sea, that is... Everything has a being, has a spirit. And that thing changes as the object changes. This is why we talk about Tsukomogami. If you take care of, like, a tool, and it persists for 100 years... It becomes its own spirit. It becomes its own personage in its own way.
Correct. Yeah. And you'll hear us talk about this on episode 7.
Mm-hmm. We talk about it at length because it's honestly kind of a favorite of ours and everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I was kind of surprised here. I'd honestly think you would just, like, windmill slam Namahage there.
You know, Namahage... Okay, there was one in the list that you sent me that I'm surprised isn't Namahage.
Oh?
Right? Snorunt?
Oh, yeah.
Because the Snorunt is wearing a straw overcoat, right?
Yeah.
If we're going to talk, like, making a Namahage into a Pokemon, what if an evolution of Snorunt into a Namahage?
Ooh. Big, kind of scary fighting one? Ooh, or would it be dark?
I'm going to say fighting and fire, because they go around with torches. But let me get a picture here.
Yeah, snow runs are adorable.
Cause they're like
they're little like H-ish triangles.
Yeah.
Oh.
So like snow runt is wearing a mino, a straw raincoat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Namahage wear these. So yeah, I can easily see a snow runt evolution, right? As a Namahage.
Yeah.
I can also, you know, see, maybe a couple different kinds of evolution, depending on what, like, stone you use to evolve it, right?
Oh, they got really crazy with some of the evolutions.
Because there's, like, red Namahage and blue Namahage. There's the Namahage from one town, and there's a Namahage from another town.
Mm-hmm.
There's different varieties. So I can definitely see that, yeah.
Another one that I wouldn't mind seeing on my end is, like, a Pokemon take on a Tentacle. You know, a heavenly fox. And the big reason why I want to say that one is, well, you know how I view my Aramitama's, my Ujigami's Aramitama.
I was gonna say, let's explain for the audience. Let's explain for the audience how this is different from, you know, Ninetales and such that we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. So, and like yokai folklore and everything, Tenko are good kitsune that have divine powers. You know, they have evolved beyond the need to eat. They are generally about 1,000 years old, have about 4-ish bushy tails, spiritual beings without a physical body, and they become in their own rights similar to like a kami as far as like capability goes.
I think a few of them are enshrined as kami now. Mm-hmm. now that you mention it, there are some in some parts of Japan,
and I like the thought of that here, but I also kind of want to play with it as like a ghost fairy type.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a very good one,
because you can still play with some interesting fox folklore on that, like with the move Draining Kiss, because there's been a lot of stories where foxes will steal people's breath. I really kind of want to see that as a Pokemon, because I think it would just be an interesting, it would be another interesting take on foxes, and I like foxes, as you can probably tell from the icon. But oh, hey there, Iacetus, it's good to see you.
Hey, good to see you.
But I appreciate how, like, Shinto folklore, especially with yokai, has shaped a lot of Pokemon.
Oh, quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a bit.
And, like, there are just so many of them and everything here that we may have to revisit when we talk about Tsukumugami, because we haven't even gotten into the Rotom, which is a ghost-type Pokemon that possesses appliances.
How do you spell that? Oh, Rotom. Okay.
Yeah. It has a lot of different little forms.
Huh. When it possesses a microwave oven, it becomes Heat Rotom, and is electric fire. When it possesses a washing machine, it becomes Wash Rotom, and is electric water.
Mm-hmm.
When it possesses a refrigerator, it becomes Frost Rotom, and is electric ice. When it possesses an electric fan, it becomes Fan Rotom, and is electric flying. When it possesses a lawnmower, it becomes Mow Rotom, and is electric grass. Wow.
Deep Sea, this is like my personal pet theory about that whole thing. Because Tsukumugami are spirits of devices and everything here, I would say Rotom is a Tsukumugami. Is kind of yokai adjacent, if not yokai completely.
Yeah, I can see it.
And they're just like friendly little electric bug. Wouldn't you agree, Doc?
I mean, from what I'm seeing in the pictures, yeah.
Yeah, they're adorable.
Yeah, he's a yokai in a watch.
Oi!
I see what you did there.
Oh, not Tsukumugami, Tsukumugami.
Tsukumugami.
Thank you for actually correcting me there, Doc. But Tsukumugami are tool spirits. There are a lot of different ones there and everything. Another one that would be really interesting to see is a ghostly umbrella.
Oh, a kasa obake.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Going around on, like, doink doink on the handle.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ghost flying, you know?
Yeah. And, like, spitting spines like it does in Neo.
Mm-hmm. Give it pin missile.
Yep. Oh, man. What would another good one be? Man, you know, if you had, like, do you remember, I don't know if any Pokemon hold an umbrella, actually.
I don't think so. Like, the closest I think is Mr. Rime, which is horrifying and should not exist, but
Do you remember the, if you watched the Sengoku Choju Giga series, mm-hmm. that has the different Sengoku warlords as anthropomorphic animals?
Yeah, yeah.
The episode where Tokugawa Ieyasu finds a mysterious yokai that's been haunting Simpu Castle, and it's the, I think that was the Noperabo. Yeah, the, well, no, I'm not thinking of that. Noperabo is the one with no face, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The...
Those things are spooky.
But there was a... Yeah, this, I'm thinking of the Nupepo in that episode. It's an indistinguishable, wrinkly blob with a body as one head blob of meat.
Oh, right, the little, like, lumps of fat.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be another interesting one. I guess another one that would also be very interesting, if a little dark to see for Pokemon, would be a Nue.
Oh, shit, you know, the Nue... Yeah, that would be good. That would be like combining like Entei Raikou and Suicune into one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could also maybe have it be an evolution of Eevee.
Maybe. I wouldn't see a Nue as an evolution of Eevee. I'd kind of see it like a legendary beast again, you know?
Maybe its own thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because... those things are horrifying looking.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, another one that might be good?
Huh?
That one type of yokai cat, the one that's like a flaming wheel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Frick, what are they called? Kasha. Kasha, yeah. I mean, technically, Doc, they did give us a dark fire tiger wrestler.
True, yeah.
Also, I still appreciate Incineroar.
Now that brings back memories.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but again, a lot of these folklore tales, a lot of these stories permeate through pop culture. Oh, actually, Deep Sea, that is a good...
That's a good one, yeah.
Mm. Oh, you could probably even, like, set that, like, hypothetical Tohoku region, you know?
Yeah, which they've never done yet.
Yeah, that still upsets me. Oh, God. Every other part of Japan, not Tohoku.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder why that could be.
Stairs and Meiji Restoration. Mark it off your bingo cards, everyone. We're here all night.
Yep. Friends, listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to this latest episode. Is this episode 8?
Let's call this 7.5.
This is episode 7.5. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Yeah, and as always, where can they find you, Doc?
They can find me at Riverside Wings, getting up to my usual mischief.
Mm-hmm. Which is this Twitch stream right here that we are watching. Also, you can find me at FoxNamedZoe, and that's Fox_named_Zoe on Twitter.com. And that's ZOE.
Mm-hmm.
There's also my link tree in the middle of the chat right now. If you want to follow my poetry, it's also in my pinned tweet on my Twitter account. And as always, stay curious, my friends.
Yep, stay curious. We'll see you next month.
Mm-hmm.